As voting continues, South African police arrest 31 in political bombings. Nation mourns Richard Nixon as President Clinton leads funeral. Killer tornadoes strike again in the Midwest. Good Wednesday morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. As South Africans of all races turned out to vote in huge numbers under a new national flag and a new equal rights constitution, police announced they've broken up a ring of white extremists responsible for political bombings.
31 persons have been arrested. Quantities of weapons, ammunition, and explosives have also been seized.
The National Police Chief, General Johan van der Merwe, said the suspects include a policeman, a reservist, and several members of the extreme right-wing Afrikaner Resistance Movement. More members of that group, called AWB, are being sought. Van der Merwe said the bombings, in which 21 people have died, were meant to derail the election. He denied there was any organized terrorist group within the security forces and said diehard white extremists will not prevail.
Radical right-wing terrorism is a future with which we will have to deal in future and which will also be a threat till such time that we have also persuaded these persons to stick to more peaceful process and peaceful methods.
The latest bombing came today, injuring 18 people at Johannesburg's Jan Smuts Airport. CBS News cameraman Mike Hernandez had just gotten off a flight.
I heard the explosion and felt glass coming down, and it was sheer panic. People were just running and scrambling everywhere. And we later found out that the bomb took place right above us.
Democracy is not without its growing pains. Many polling stations had no ballots, pencils, and the like, a concern to President de Klerk.
They are getting on top of the problem with regard to the polling stations where they have problems. And I therefore don't think that it will affect the freeness and fairness of the election. What is required is patience.
The Election Commission may extend voting hours nationwide. Waiting to become his nation's first black president, Nelson Mandela spoke with optimism about South Africa's future.
It is the beginning of a new era. We have moved from an era of pessimism, division, limited opportunity, turmoil, and conflict. We are starting a new era of hope.
We're told that former South African President P.W. Botha jumped the line at his polling place in the Cape Province. Anglican Archbishop Desmond Tutu calls this a mountaintop day. We spoke to him in Cape Town soon after he had voted.
Now, my humanity, my dignity have been recognized to the extent that I can now choose, have a part in choosing my government. And they will be my government. And that these people, white people who alone had this privilege, are now truly my fellow citizens.
Do whites have reason to be anxious or afraid of what's going to happen in the coming months?
They have a reason to some extent. You know, I mean, they are 20% of the population and they own 87% of the land. We are 80% of the population and we have only 13% of the land. There has to be a restructuring there.
Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who danced when he voted. Whatever passed for a ceasefire in Rwanda is gone, with reports of heavy mortar and rocket fire in the capital of Kigali. Mass killings appear to be continuing unabated. The United Nations says the only Serb heavy weapons left within 12 and a half miles of Garajda are those which have broken down. UNPROFOR's Major Nick Burwell is in that battered Muslim city.
Over the last 48 hours, things have quietened down a lot, and it seems at the moment that the Serbs have complied with the agreement, largely, and have moved out.
To make sure, correspondent Barry Peterson tells us Allied photo reconnaissance planes are crisscrossing Garajda.
At first light, NATO was up and looking for Serb heavy weapons. Later, the UN said the Serbs are keeping their word, retreating from Garajda, a city they pounded for weeks. Bitter Bosnian forces are shooting at the Serbs' backs as they withdraw. UN troops are putting themselves between the warring sides. Next, new talks. A special negotiating team arrives later this week. American, Russian, European, and UN representatives taking the less glamorous and far more tricky business of hammering out some sort of deal. The hurdles are big. It is springtime, a great time for war. And generals on all sides are picking targets and planning assaults. Garajda may not be the end of the fighting. It may be just another bloody signpost in this bitter civil war. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Sarajevo.
One ham radio operator in Garajda disputes claims of full Serb compliance, saying shells fell today on a village 7 miles southwest of Garajda within the exclusion zone. It's 5 minutes past.
You're hearing news on KNX 1070.
Look out, L.A. Here comes Dave.
Yes!
The Late Show with David Letterman spends a week in L.A.
That's the place to be.
It's big.
A little touch of Broadway.
Taxi!
Right here at home.
Nothing makes you feel better than a solid dose of Dave.
The Late Show from L.A. starts Monday, May 9th, right after Action News at 11 on Channel 2. Hollywood will never be the same.
Remember, you can't spell Letterman without L.A.
Tragedy strikes on Christie, television's most talked about new drama.
Alice, look out!
With Tyne Daly's life hanging by a thread.
Go get Doc McNeil.
Will Christie's faith be enough to get them through?
This is it. This is the answer to my prayers.
Then, Darren McGavin hosts Mysteries of the Ancient World, The Shroud of Turin, The Bermuda Triangle, and The Pyramids.
To build the Great Pyramid in 20 years would require a technology we don't have today.
A special night of drama and mystery.
Thursday night at 8 on KCBS Channel 2.
On this National Day of Mourning, Americans say a final farewell to Richard Milhouse Nixon. Correspondent David Dow is in Yorba Linda, California, where the 37th president was born and will be buried today.
In death, he has seemed more like the Richard Nixon of 1972, the winner of an election landslide, than the fallen leader of later years. The lines to view his flag-covered casket have at times reached 10 blocks. Catherine Skaggs waited 3.5 hours through rain and hail to pay him tribute.
There's a man who made a great mistake and paid a great price for it, and yet he went on to live his life in a great way and turned that around. I think most people remember him for the great statesman that he was.
In the long lines have been many Vietnam-era veterans like Dave Cleveland, who remember Mr. Nixon as the man who brought them home from an ugly war.
Looking back at his accomplishments, far exceed anything that Watergate could have left with me.
Today, more than 1,800 will gather for Nixon's funeral, among them four former presidents, President Clinton, dozens of old Nixon staffers, and representatives of at least 80 countries. He will be buried next to wife Pat near the modest home where he began life and a long, twisting political road. David Dow, CBS News, Yorba Linda, California.
In Lafayette, Indiana, early today, at least two people were killed and 51 injured when a tornado destroyed about 30 mobile homes, a Venetian blind factory, and two gas stations. State Police Headquarters in Lafayette also had a close call, says Colonel Matthew Harper.
We had no damage in our building. We've got minor damage outside the building, but with the way the buildings are destroyed next door, it's surprising to walk out and see that building totally destroyed.
More than 200 Lafayette residents had to be evacuated. Several people were injured when a tornado ripped through Gainesville, Texas yesterday, hours after another twister killed three people in the Dallas suburb of Lancaster. These people were among the hundreds who lost their homes.
Trying to clean up, get our stuff out, and look for a place to live.
It's just a loss of a lot of memories, but thankfully we're all okay.
The Clinton administration reportedly is looking to help U.S. companies compete with Japan on one high-tech trade front. The New York Times says the administration wants to spend up to $1 billion to bolster U.S. production of flat-panel computer screens. Japan dominates that market. Singapore's cabinet meets tomorrow and is expected to approve the caning of American teenager Michael Fay for acts of vandalism. The caning, 6 flesh-ripping lashes by a martial arts expert, will likely be carried out in a matter of days. Overseas, the dollar is lower. London gold is up a dime at $374.35 an ounce. Time on the roundup, 10 minutes past the hour.